Hello, everybody. Welcome to On Location, Coast Side Edition. We are here on the Coast Side. I'm Sophia Lane, and we are on the Bluff Tops in Half Moon Bay, California, a special place called Wavecrest with my friend, Barbara Dye. Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
It's good.
A cool day, but very beautiful on the Bluff,
as always. We've been friends for quite some time.
Yes.
Doing a lot of work together in various projects over the years. And I've always appreciated how, you know, your story arc, your career arc. And you've done so many amazing, interesting things in the world. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, I'm one of those people who never figured out what she wanted to be when she grew up.
So you're always young.
Yes.
Yes, that's a good thing.
Majored in geology in college. It's been useful to me through the years, though I've never really worked as a professional geologist. I joined the Peace Corps with my husband right out of college in West Africa, in Ghana, and then came back, did some political work, wrote some travel books while I was having babies, did a lot with the PTA, state PTA, doing legislation work. Then Congresswoman Jane Harman offered me a job, kind of out of the blue, and I said yes. And that kind of started me on a whole nother career. I did that for a while. Then I became environmental project manager for a big development project on the coast in Palos Verdes. So we lived in Palos Verdes for 25 years.
Yeah, Southern California.
And I did a bunch of things down there. And then I did that. Then I had been on the board of the land trust down there since it was founded and been head started a lot of their programs and activities. And so I became, after I finished at the project, I became the executive director of the land trust. And we did a huge deal where we raised $17 million and bought the remaining piece of open space on the peninsula and created a 3,000-acre preserve in the middle of Los Angeles County.
That's huge.
Yeah,
it was great. A very urban county. That's amazing.
It was very exciting, and yeah. It's a wonderful open space.
Yeah.
And then we were kind of retired and decided to join the Peace Corps again. So from 2010 to 2013, we were in the Peace Corps in Mexico, 2 years in Guadalajara and a year in Querétaro, where I did environmental work. I wrote a book for the first place about the geology of that project. And then in 2014, we were back home. We decided to sell our house in Palos Verdes and move somewhere else. And we found here.
We found
this beautiful place.
We found this beautiful, amazing place.
All our three daughters are here in the area. So
it's been
a wonderful thing, and I'm so glad to be here.
Wonderful. I'm just so impressed. Most couples will do like date night, go out for dinner. You guys went the whole way going to the Peace Corps for the second round. That's pretty amazing. Are there things that you feel like you learned there through that experience that you still carry with you here today and what you're doing and the way you're living life?
Hablo español, which I really didn't when we went there. And then, it just was kind of an extension, a continuation of the things I'd always done, environmental work, community work, all that kind of thing. And it was just great to be part of the culture there. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then I came here, immediately started volunteering with Coastside Land Trust, and we're walking over Coastside Land Trust's Wavecrest properties and the trail they're putting in. Again, Sarah Polger has done an incredible job to continue to get the funding and to supervise the project to put in this amazing trail.
That's fantastic.
And I, on the stewardship committee, I'm in charge of the monitoring. So we monitor every property in regions and kind of blocks, because there's a lot of little parcels every year. And so we do a bird list, a plant list, notice any changes, any significant factors, and we take monitoring photos. So we do that all spring, every Monday.
So tell us like a little bit about what is a land trust, because it's a concept that I think is very dominant in our lives here in the Bay Area, for sure. Other places, and I grew up back east, not as much, but we have the Coastside Land Trust here, and we have other
Peninsula Open Space Trust.
Right.
Well, I respect people who are opposed to development projects and protest and do that. But the role of the land trust is to say, we as a community value this property and value this open space. So we are going to come together and raise the money and buy it at a fair price.
Right.
And that's, I think, they both kind of work together, but I think that's a really good way to preserve and protect land.
Right, right. So that makes sense. It's a nonprofit.
Yes, yes. And people should support its work because there's a lot more to... right here on Wavecrest, in fact, Coastside Land Trust owns a patchwork of lots.
Yeah.
So whenever they come up, a lot of people have these 25 by 90 foot lots, and they come up, they decide to stop paying the taxes on them because they're not buildable anymore. And then they decide either to donate them for a tax break,
yeah,
or Coastside Land Trust buys them.
I think it's so interesting because a lot
people
of
people donate them too.
People donate. That's just fantastic. I think it's an interesting concept and an interesting model for preserving open space. Because I know a lot of times people come out here, and we have a fair amount of open space here in the Bay Area, you know, exorbitantly expensive as it is to live here. One of the reasons is because of the natural beauty and the...
Yep.
Is it conservation or preservation? What's the right word that
both.
We have here?
Either,
both.
Either works.
Right?
But then the interesting thing is many land trusts get to a point where then it becomes stewardship.
Right.
And in addition to setting the land aside, it's really important to take care of that land.
Yeah.
And so that's...
So is that stewardship?
Yes. In Coastside Land Trust, I did a webinar for them that I went through all the properties and, you know, the plants and the creatures and so forth that are there. And then at the end, I said, we need a stewardship plan.
Yeah.
And the San Mateo County Bird Alliance gave us some funding to start the process of doing that.
Oh, fantastic.
But the idea is to do more habitat restoration, do more, you know, get rid of the pampas grass that we're looking at right over there.
Yeah, a lot of invasive plants that have come in. And when the invasive plants come in, that changes the ecosystem, right? And the animals change as well.
Yes. And then the other thing that I did after I came here is I got appointed to the board of the Granada Community Services District.
Very cool.
Which, you know, does the whole Granada area and Miramar and Frenchman's Creek.
And what do they do in those areas?
Well, we're responsible, we used to say, parks and sewers. So it's actually parks, sewers, and trash. And when I got elected in 2014, the people of that area had passed by 60% a vote to convert to a community services district and take the property tax revenues that had been received and allocate them to parks.
Ah.
So when I got on board, I started pushing to say, well, we're supposed to build a park.
Yeah.
And we ended up purchasing the remaining land on the Lunar Strip at the foot of Portola. And we spent 6 years and more than 70 public meetings and outreach efforts.
Wow.
And
wow.
Surveys and everything
70
else.
70 is a lot for a community the size of ours. And I know specifically in El Granada. But also the whole coastside is only about 25,000 people.
That's right.
So that's pretty phenomenal.
But it was hard because we had such conflicting needs and desires in the community. Like there were a number of people who came in and said, active recreation. Our kids need things to do.
Right.
And others said, natural open space.
Yeah.
We want it to be look better and be nicer. And other people wanted specific things like the skate wrap we're going to keep, and we're going to do a little small skate feature. So we tried really hard to balance all of those efforts. We have the skate ramp is there. There's a trail all around the outside with exercise stations, and there's a half-court basketball court, something that teenagers can go down and bounce a ball around.
That's actually really fantastic. Hoops is a great thing, and not everyone can, you know, have the space or the luxury of having a hoop in front of their house. That's the right height, right?
Yeah, and something the kids can go down after school and
just
meet their friends and so
forth. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. And then we had people who wanted active sports like pickleball, but we can't block any views. So the only things in the view, there will be one public bathroom, small, and maybe some swings.
Which is, swings.
That stick up.
But it's hard to argue with a bathroom or swings.
Yeah. So we have to protect views, and it's very windy.
Yeah.
So the only way you could really put pickleball in would be to have wind walls, which they often do when they're outdoors.
Yeah.
You can't do that because it would block the view.
Yeah.
So that didn't, we weren't able to satisfy that need, but yeah, we tried. And then the two streams are getting completely reworked.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of that.
Oh, that's exciting.
They're going to, we worked with the RCD, the Resource Conservation District, and they're going to be made more sinuous.
Yeah.
And they're going to be slowed down, and then they're going to have a lot of riparian vegetation along the sides. So the water will be cleaner when it gets to the ocean.
Yeah.
And these little stream beds will be beautiful.
More like just like rain water overflow channels to the sea.
So then people always want to know, when are we going to get this park?
Yeah.
And
$1 million question.
Because we did all that outreach, and then we came up with a final plan. I mean, final for that moment. And then hired a consulting company to do environmental review. So they had to look at all the various things. Oh, and I forgot to say, we purchased the building on the property. It's contentious, but we want to put in a community center that benefits everyone in the community.
Yeah.
All ages. And yeah, we'll have two big meeting rooms, one for like exercise classes and dance classes.
Oh, nice.
We'll have mirrors, and the other one will be more maybe with a sink so you can do crafts.
Yeah.
And a place for small meetings. And then behind it is going to be like the community outdoor living room with Wi-Fi and nice comfortable chairs to sit there, and it'll block the wind a bit, so it's going to be a real benefit.
That's going to be really nice.
So anyway, this project, all of its impacts had to be analyzed, which meant the maximum uses of everything. So people saw that mitigated negative declaration. It's a long name.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought, oh, they're going to do all these things. No, they just had to analyze
for
the maximum
possible. Yes, yes.
It'll still be managed by a local board, and there'll be rules, and there won't be a lot of nighttime use, if any, in the park.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's done.
Yep.
It got approved.
Good.
And it has about the same amount of parking as before, which is what people in the survey said. They wanted the same or less.
Yeah.
And so it has about the same. And it's now just about to go to the county.
Yeah.
So maybe in a year we'll be ready. We don't have enough money to build it all at once.
Yep.
So we'll probably build the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Where the parking is and the bathroom and the picnic table, the two playgrounds and the picnic tables, and there's a little bit of lawn. The people who originally wanted it, to preserve it, wanted it all to be lawn, like Marina Green.
Oh, yeah.
But in today's world,
it's really hard to maintain.
Right? And water
expensive.
And everything else. So, but we have a nice little play lawn where people will be able to throw a frisbee, have a picnic.
Yeah, a little patch.
Anyway. It's great.
That's nice. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be wonderful for our community. I really do.
Yeah, and it's so cool that we have such different types of spaces to gather and to sometimes be alone, right? Like outside of our individual residences and the commercial spaces that we have, which of course are amazing, the small shops and our stores. And I was at one of our local grocery stores, New Leaf, today, and thinking how lucky we are to have such a nice grocery store in our town, which is pretty small again. But to have places like this where we're walking right now on the bluffs that are wide open and, you know, fairly, you can see for a long distance till you see like these stand-up trees on our left and the stand-up trees on our right and a little gully to our immediate left before that stand-up trees or...
It's a big arroyo, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty big feature. And actually, most of this, it's spotty. The trail, they had to route the trail, so it went on Coastside Land Trust property and City of Half Moon Bay property.
Ah,
so
okay.
So that's one reason in a couple places it makes a funny bend.
So is this patchwork, is that patchwork you described applicable out here too, where...
Yes.
That's why you had to go
some places.
Funny curves.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
They didn't, it goes pretty direct.
There
was enough
Seems logical and rational.
Right.
When you're walking, because you're not generally out here for... Not generally out here for commuting or anything like super efficient. It's more to have that space and to breathe that air and sometimes to walk with a friend.
Exactly.
Catch up and chit-chat a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is really nice to walk and talk, as we often do.
Yeah, so. One more thing about the park is that it's 70% green space, so vegetation, and 60% of it, so 10% is lawn in the plan, and the rest is natural open space.
Oh, that's
great.
People
sort of think we're going to fill it up with
stuff. Yeah.
But there's going to be a lot, especially the whole north end.
Yeah.
It's going to be wallflower grassland and a little coastal sage scrub, just like we're seeing right here.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting to me how in that story that you described of developing the plans for that park that will be built, and, you know, hopefully we can come back again and share maybe when that's built.
I never would have expected it would take this long, but I guess that's the way things are. See, this is a really cool plant.
Okay, show us.
It's called curry plant.
Oh.
It's a native plant.
Does it smell like curry?
It smells like curry. I don't know. We don't have, here we go.
Can you guys smell?
Yeah, smell that.
It's the leaves.
The leaves smell like curry.
Oh, yeah, they do. It's subtle.
Isn't that great?
It's subtle, but it's very spot on. It's a good description.
Yeah. There's a lot of rare wildflowers in these bluffs. It's really exciting. And what else is exciting is that the raptors are coming back. They come for the winter. And so we've seen, in the last few days, I've seen my first kites of the season.
Oh, my gosh.
Kestrels.
The kestrels we just saw when we were starting. I know, they're so cute. I tried to take a picture with my iPhone, but, you know, it looks like a little dot on a line. So yeah.
And
we'll
see. Carriers that you can tell by the spot on the back. That's one of the things that I've started doing is doing some birding. I don't have as much time, and there's so many really wonderful birders
here. There's so many amazing birds around here. Yeah, the barn owls down by Francis Beach have been really cool.
Yeah.
So the theory I heard was that it's a family with some juveniles that are now learning to hunt. And that's why they're coming out in the evening. Have you heard that, or does that sound
plausible? That's exactly what happens.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's like 4 or 5, and the barn owls are so cute because they have that very distinctive, very visible even in twilight face because it's light.
They look like a human face.
They do. They're very. It's very easy to anthropomorphize them because they're so cute.
And we're worried about the crows and the ravens as the populations increase. They've been seen mobbing the kites especially and the hawks and the owls. And we have noticed a reduction in the number of some of the raptors.
Huh.
Also, so one of the things that probably this plan is going to recommend is corvid control.
Yeah.
Which probably means working with the city of Half Moon Bay to cover all the dumpsters. Because it's food that brings them.
I was going to ask.
So we're going to need to have a program where we remind people, don't leave food out. Don't leave trash in the dumpsters and so forth. So
They're super clever. So, you know, you kind of have to do a pretty good job of hiding it to them.
Yeah. And we saw the kestrels. I mean, the kites. Doing their mating thing where they kind of fly like in a dance.
It's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So what are the raptor behaviors like around here? What is like the peak time to see them and what, you know?
Fall is a really good time to see them because they haven't started nesting because then they kind of hide a little bit.
Yeah.
In fact, Hoside Land Trust is doing a raptor walk in November.
Oh, so cool.
You should look on the website.
Yeah.
It's really,
we'll
it has
pop on the links for that
much
too.
Better birders than me from the San Mateo
You're pretty
County.
Good. You're a pretty good photographer, too. I've seen some of your work.
Earth Alliance, who are going to come and take people out.
Yeah.
But there's harriers, which as I said, have the white spot on their butt, and they fly low to the ground.
So that's, I saw one of those the other day,
and
I could not for the life of me remember. I knew it was a very distinct characteristic because it's really only the one. It's really only the harrier that has that, right?
Yep.
So once you see that, then you know for sure.
That's right.
It's like the red tail when you see a larger, chunkier raptor with the white on its breast
And the belly band.
The belly band. You can tell
the red tails because they have this line across their stomach that shows.
So this is all new to you here. We're walking down towards the beach.
There will be two sets of stairs taking people down to the beach here.
Yeah.
So,
because it's been pretty cool. Like this whole time we've been walking on this new, some of it was existing, I believe, but it's fixed.
It's like, a 10-foot wide gravel trail now, yeah. which allows, it's not hardscape, it's not yeah. asphalt. It lets the water percolate yeah. into the ground. And we're hoping that we can discourage some of the walking on the edges, because that's where the cool wildflowers are.
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
see them from this trail.
Yeah.
And then it'll be nice to have the public access down to the beach, because...
Yeah, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I think anyone that's been here before that comes here again will be very impressed to see.
Turn around maybe and head.
Yeah. yeah. Let's look. It's a good turnaround spot here. We see this beautiful... I'm going to take a picture. See, I always challenge myself with these technological feeds. Can I take a picture? Snap. At yeah, the same time, like, I record.
Coastal buckwheat over there. And, you know, it's just, we're so lucky to live in this beautiful place.
Yeah, it's quite a diversity.
Yeah.
So what are your hopes for the future here? Like, what would you like to see? Maybe that's a big open-ended question.
No, I'd like to see a real program of habitat restoration. State Parks is doing a lot of wonderful mm-hmm. coastal sage scrub restoration further up. And
yeah.
we can be doing that here. Making it more welcoming to the birds.
Yeah.
I think that will be great. And, you know, there's a few other things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
keep me busy.
Yeah.
I hope that the park in El Dorado will get built. And it'll bring the community together. I've always said that piece of property is like the front yard.
Yeah,
of
it
El
is.
Granada.
It
and
is.
We don't have anything there.
Yeah.
That really brings people together, except the post office.
Yeah, yeah.
The post office.
A little spot at Quarry Park, but that's fairly tucked away.
Yeah,
up
yeah.
in the hills.
So
and not as accessible and visible as this would be, which would be fantastic.
Yeah, and then just really, I'm also president of the Coastside Democrats, and we've been trying to bring our elected officials here to talk to people and have meetings that are of interest and provide people with tools to express their opinion on political topics. And so that's been very satisfying.
Yeah,
as well.
You've been.
And you've been a big help with that.
It's been my pleasure. I feel like whatever we can do to come together to advocate for progress and the people of our community, including those that don't always have a voice.
Yes.
For a variety of reasons. I think is super important. So I appreciate being able to, you know, work with different people, as I have also in all the work that I've done, different kinds of people. It's such a privilege to be able to have those interactions and those partnerships and the learnings, right?
Yes.
That come with like meeting people and working with people that, you know, have the same kind of long-term goal, like preserving democracy, for example.
And open space.
And open space.
And,
you know, education. Yeah.
It's one of the reasons
healthcare.
I love living here is like El Granada is a mix, you know. You
yeah.
have some big fancy houses. You also have some that are on one little railroad lot that's 25 feet wide, and they have
yeah.
a cute little house on there. And, you know, there's just a mix of people. You meet... You know, the schools are full of kids from all over. And
yeah.
And though I don't feel as if an area, we mix as well as I wish we did.
Yep.
But it's still wonderful to have the range of different people from different places that we can make our community richer.
Absolutely. And I think that richness and that diversity allows people the opportunity to get involved and get engaged in whatever, you know, whatever way meets their needs. And, you know, that might change over time as well, like be it through a group like Coastside Democrats that's doing a lot of work right now, for example, around Proposition 50, which is on the ballot November 4th. We'll be getting our mail-in ballots the next week or so to counteract some of the gerrymandering that's happening in other states like Texas. That's such a very distinct, specific piece of work that that's being done right now, but also, you know, important is restoring the habitat, you know, in the meantime, or
well, one
donating
of the things that
to ALAS or
exactly,
you know, whatever it is, like
there are so many things, but one thing that, you know, gets lost in what's happening now is that so many environmental rules
yes.
have been just eliminated. And it's going to take a while for us to feel the impacts of that.
Yes.
And environmental funding for projects that are really critical, gone. It's mostly gone.
Yeah.
And again, it's just, there are so many pieces of what's happening now that are really difficult and are going to negatively impact our lives.
Yeah.
But that's one that I care about a lot.
Yeah.
Global warming, you know, I mean.
I couldn't agree with you more on the, you know, medical side, which is where my background is too, to think about cancer research Alzheimer's research or any kind of medical research right now that's being abruptly called to a halt because of the, you know, situation with grants from the federal government. It's not going to it's not a spigot that just turns back on once you have to restart that big complex engine, and it's going to take some time.
And there were a lot of programs that were getting started to make the world a better place, and they've largely been canceled.
Yeah.
So we will see how that changes, but that's why it's important for us to bring people together
and
give them the tools to express their opinions.
Yes.
And we'll be having more protests.
Yep.
And we'll be having
October 18th.
Yep. October 18th
is our next one.
Yep. And Sophia, you're going to helping
with that
on.
Yep.
And we expect the goal in that one is to have it at every intersection on Highway 1.
Yep.
So neighborhoods can walk out together.
Yeah.
And they don't have to drive during Pumpkin Festival.
Yeah, for
which
sure.
Which is what that weekend is.
Yep.
They can just walk
to the corner.
In fact,
it'll be later in the afternoon so that people can go. I plan to go to the parade because I don't miss the parade any year. That's been like my tradition for decades, decades now. And then we come together in community and support each other and support our country right now. That's definitely another thing. People can come out for that as well and just be heard. Or we've been writing postcards. There's a lot. We always come back to how Jane Batty phrased it when we spoke a couple months ago around just put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's easy to kind of like shrink back when there's so much going on, and it's frankly a lot of it's existentially concerning. Like today, for example, is our federal government is shut down for the first time in several years. Which
I'm worried about what's going to happen to the Peace Corps.
Right.
At this point, they have not eliminated it, but they got rid of AmeriCorps. They got rid of all the aid programs. They say they told Peace Corps that they were going to have twice as many volunteers with half as much staff, which is ridiculous.
Makes no sense.
It's complicated to Americans and other countries, but I don't think people realize the value of Peace Corps. People think, oh, it's what those people do in those other countries.
No,
that's not what it is.
No.
Many of those people make real contributions, but not everybody.
Yeah.
But what they do it is make friends for America by being ordinary people.
Yeah.
They get paid about the same as a high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't live in a big fancy house.
Yeah.
And then the third one is, I think the most important of all, is those people come back home knowing that the world is a big place.
Yes.
And that people are different.
Yep.
And that things are complicated. And there's not easy answers to problems. But
that's a super important voice.
And those people go on in the past to be in the State Department and the CIA.
Yep.
And now they always kept Peace Corps separate from the other agencies because they didn't want accusations that they were spying. But people went on to do that work. But now they're talking about moving it into the State Department and taking away its independence.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, but my two Peace Corps experiences were just so important to my life.
Yeah, it's still so relevant. Like you said, for all those reasons now, you know, we can still write a letter supporting our legislators that are doing the right thing, encouraging those that maybe we're not sure about. I think we're pretty fortunate here to have more of the former, in my opinion, than the latter. But nonetheless, they need our support, too.
Yep.
And so many ways that we can help. And certainly walking and talking with one another is probably one of the best in connecting and, you know, overcoming that.
I appreciate your efforts to, you know, sort of bring new opinions and information to the Coast Side and all the volunteer work you've done through the years. You're a real treasure for this Coast Side.
Thank you. Well, I it's all through friendships and partnerships and community. We get it done. Thank you so much, Barbara. It's been so lovely to talk with you, as always.
It's been really fun.
Thank you. See you soon. On Location, Coast Side Edition with Sophia Lane is produced by Bright Now Media. Stay tuned for our next episode coming soon. And thanks for listening.